You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. And as we delve into this week's topic, a reminder that some of the content may be of a sensitive nature. Now, here's your host, Des Kennedy.
Welcome to Momentum. It is Tim and Des back with you once again for another terrific show. Des, really great to have you on board, my friend.
Yes, it's great to be here, my friend. It's great to be here.
Love you to check out the Momentum website, MomentumAustralia.org. You can hear previous episodes of the show there. Also, get connected with Momentum as well, and hopefully get you connected locally as well if you're not. Bunch of resources on the website too, and if you'd like to chip in a few dollars and keep Momentum on the air, we'd really appreciate that as well. Details at MomentumAustralia.org. Now, talking of previous shows, pointing back to last week's show, we heard the incredible testimony, story, and journey of Pastor Steve Wickham. He is currently an associate pastor. He's pastored four churches in the past or been in a pastoral role in churches. He's had a pastoral supervisor role and been a school chaplain. He's a counselor. He's a couples counselor, a marriage funeral celebrant. He's authored two books. And he's actually been writing an online blog since 2007. And he reckons there's been over about 10,000 articles online. And we're going to discuss one or potentially more of them in this week's show. Pastor Steve Wickham, welcome back to Momentum.
Thanks so much for having us. Yeah.
We just want to say on behalf of Des and myself, thank you for your raw honesty in last week's episode. Yes. There was a lot of stuff that we touched on last week, and no doubt we'll come back to that in future weeks of the show. But, you know, Steve, when we look back across your life, you've transitioned across a variety of different careers and jobs, and we kind of want to explore that a bit in this week's show, this sense of purpose that lies within us. And I know, and you've even got it in the studio with us now, this very... It looks like an original copy of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, which, you know, for a lot of people has been impactful in them finding their purpose and their sense of what is God calling me to be. Tell us a bit about this book. Let's start by your experience of this book. Why has this book been so pivotal for you?
Well, I've done the journey, The Purpose-Driven Life, three times, but it was so pivotal in that first year of my kind of recovery and journeying 2004 with the church, and I actually had a leadership role in helping drive this for the church, and I found that it connected me to those five, you know, the five purposes, you know, the worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and mission. So it's a whole, you know, what God wants us involved in. But I found that it really formed a lot of my theology and helped me to learn how to be a Christian in those early days. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. And, you know, a lot of people have read that book. I've read bits of it. I can't say I've read it all, but it certainly does help direct the way we think around our, you know, the purpose of our life. So what was the most interesting thing you found in reading the book and doing that course?
I think the way that it was deployed at the church was that it was a whole of church experience. So you weren't just reading a book; you were doing it as small groups, and it was a whole. It was an 8 week journey, 7 or 8 week journey. That it felt that it was a time of growth. It was a time of deepening in discipleship, and I think it was there were so many spin-offs as far as what this book gave or this process gave to the church around its purpose and around our individual purposes as people of God.
So then let's I suppose for men listening right now who, I mean, everyone's going to be on different parts of that journey. Some may be living what they think is their purpose. Some might be kind of, yeah, I'm there or thereabouts. Some may still be in their 40s, like myself, and going, I'm still not really sure what that looks like. Or perhaps I'm in the second half of life and I feel like my purpose has changed.
Yes.
So, how do we then look at, I suppose, the natural giftings and things that we have that we believe are God-given? How do then we outwork and go, how does that then outplay in my life as my purpose? What sorts of things do I need to look at that would give me an indicator of what that might be?
Well, a lot of the time we want an instant avenue into what our calling is.
And what's wrong with that?
And that's, we're in this instant society, aren't we? And we all want things instantly. Yeah. But I think God has a journey for us all. I mean, we're counseled by people like Moses, who started his kind of, you would argue, his best work at 80. And there's so many images in the Bible of people who had to wait. David had to wait. There's so many people. Noah had to wait. Jesus had to wait. Jesus waited 30 years before his ministry started. But, you know, I think as far as calling is concerned, going back to the Rick Warren material, you know, this shape, you know, having what are your spiritual gifts? What does your heart, what does your heart say? You know, what abilities do you have, and what personality do you have, and what experiences? So that acronym of SHAPE has actually helped me to refine what it is that God wants me to do, and to do what is necessary to put the steps into place so you can actually do that thing.
Just on that subject, you know, it concerns me a little bit that there's an awful lot of men in particular who just do life. You know, they're Christian, they've got faith, but they don't even think about a calling, and they don't think about, I'm going to go to church on Sunday if I'm not going camping or something. Their lives are not destroyed, but their lives are inhibited by the fact that they're not searching for what God wants them to do. And they don't realize that if they encompass what God has planned for them, their life will be so much more fulfilled. And you know, you good and faithful servant at the end is such a reward. So what are your thoughts around that and the way men think about their world?
Well, we are here for a purpose, and we're here, Rick Warren calls it an assignment, and we do have assignments to do. I mean, obviously serving our families, you know, our wives, our children, and that sort of thing. But there's something that, you know, a lot of us, well, and it's so many men, you know, we do have a purpose. We want to be, we're sort of identified in by our work a lot of the time, but there's got to be something that's bigger than just the work. It's what is it that to build the kingdom of God? I love the whole idea of building into men's lives, because there's so much need. There's so much need in this, especially in this COVID time, of so much isolation. And actually, it not only helps others, but it helps ourselves as well. It's God's design.
I'm going to put both of you on the spot, because as we heard last week, Steve, your first marriage, you were so engrossed in building the career and climbing the corporate ladder. And Des, I know that this has been part of your story too. So I'm going to put both of you on the spot and say, how do we balance this well? This sense of calling and purpose, and this is what I'm here to fulfill and do, whether it's just a career in inverted commas, or whether it is more of a calling, more of a ministry. How do we then make sure that we're fulfilling this sense of this is on my life and I need to do this, but balancing the other aspects of life, like being a husband and being a father, and as you know, all of us now in the room, grandfathers.
Yeah.
How do we find that balance? Because all of a sudden, you know, we're stepping away from, you know, this, but I'm just in this one space and I'm investing all of my energy in this space, but neglecting this. How do we make sure that we're spreading ourselves well? And covering all of those bases and doing that well. And obviously, you guys have got experience because, let's be honest, both of you had failed marriages as a result of just stepping into the corporate space and climbing the ladder and neglecting the other areas. So, so advice from both of you as to how men can do this well.
Let me talk first, if that's okay. And not because my story is any better, but, you know, I had a wall. I was, you know, flying around the world. I had an amazing job in technology. I was the envy of many, many, many men, you know, in terms of what I was enabled to do. But I arrived back in Sydney having gone on a world tour, and I was met by my first wife and my three kids. And when I got through the gate, my wife walked up to me and said, "I'm gone. Here's the keys to the house. The kids are staying with you." And I went, wow, where'd that come from? I didn't see it coming at all. And right, standing right behind her was a guy who I knew, who was her new partner. And so, you know, for me, it was about identity. You know, my career was my identity. You know, working for a major companies in Australia was my identity. And that was everything to me. And I knew I had the family in the background and all those, you know, all those wonderful things that actually were second to my identity. And when I look back, you know, I could have done all those things that I did with a much better balance. You know, I could have spent a lot more time with my kids. I could spend a lot more time with my wife. You know, I wasn't in faith at that stage. So, you know, Christianity wasn't on my horizon. But, you know, in terms of just doing life better balanced, realizing that my identity was, you know, in me. It wasn't what I did. It was who I am. And I didn't need to outperform to create my identity, to give me, you know, self-esteem or whatever it was. So that's, I put that out there to men. So now if you're going through, you know, your career and you think you're doing really, really well, make sure it's balanced, make sure it's focused, because you can lose everything in a heartbeat. Steve.
Well, that sound, that rings so true with my story, almost parallel stories in many ways. And I found in my second marriage, is still learning against the defaults of work and wanting to and needing to put more time into family. It was actually with a psychologist at one at 2016. It was when the psychologist was helping me to understand that my number one ministry was actually my family. Was actually my marriage was and you know it's okay in this particular situation. You know, my wife gets the whole ministry dynamics and being out at night and this and that and being kind of sold out to God.
Mm.
But you know, the number one thing that's it's the basis, it's the foundation.
Yeah.
Is our family and what we're sowing into our kids, and you know that's the real legacy. That's the stuff that will last.
Yeah.
And it's only from that does our ministry really count. You know, for God. So,
What we're going to do is take a short break and come back. So we've talked about career calling, getting caught up in that, doing family. It's busy. It's chaotic. Many men who are in that family season right now would know, I'm juggling so many balls right now. I can only sustain this for so long. Let's talk about how we do that and not burn out, because we have talked about burnout on the show before. Let's talk about some practical ways of self-care for men. And that's not something that we tend to talk about as men, but we're going to do that in the next part of this week's show. Momentum is what you're listening to. MomentumAustralia.org is our website. We'd love you to check that out in the meantime. And we're going to come back and talk about how we don't burn out in just a moment's time right here at Momentum.
You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at MomentumAustralia.org. You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at MomentumAustralia.org.
Welcome back to Momentum. Tim and Des with you, and our special guest in studio is Pastor Steve Wickerman. As well as navigating a full-time career, being an associate pastor of a church and a counselor, Steve is also a husband, a father of four, and a grandfather too. And Steve, we spent the first half of the show talking about discovering our life's purpose, our career, our calling, you know, and navigating and juggling those other things that we have to do in life. But let's talk about that, because, you know, we did talk, and let's just recap before we launch on, and you'll understand why I'm doing that. But, you know, for both of you, you shared about this career being such a driving force in your life that we kind of neglected these other areas of our lives, and you lost your marriage as a result. Let's just quickly recap that and go, what then have you learned in your second marriage, perhaps, that you didn't in your first? And how do you balance that better so that you're including these other areas of your life, your family and your kids? They're not just a tag on as, oh, you know, well, this is my ultimate purpose, my career, and these are second best, but I'm making sure that everybody's, you know, looked after in the equation.
Yeah. Well, I'm blessed in that my wife holds me gently to account, that so she can speak into my life. But very much what I learned out of the first marriage is that you've got to be connected, and you need connection with your family. There's a tug in my heart every day, and I'm thinking of praying about my son and about my wife when I'm not around them, that I want to connect with them. I'm looking forward to connecting with them when I'm finished work and that sort of thing. And there was had that a little bit in the first marriage, but not quite as much. But I think that these are the relationships that they're our lifeblood. They're what make us tick. And it's only when you contemplate losing what you can take for granted that you realize how important these relationships are.
So, Steve, let's talk about your burnout experience, because, again, burnout, we've talked to a few people about burnout on the show already. It looks a little different for everybody. What were some of the key things that perhaps would have indicated for you that you were in burnout or burning out, mm-hmm. or now you can look back and go, oh, they were the things that I perhaps missed in the moment.
Yeah. Well, I think back at that season, people were so impressed with what I was able to do. You know, I was able to work and study and contribute in church, and I was leading this and leading that and that sort of thing. Some of that's a bit of ego, I think, if you look back on it. But I think that just not watching out for the warning signs as far as feeling like you can do everything. And you are on fire for God. I was in that season.
Hmm.
So, I think probably not listening to people, and maybe some people are saying you don't need to say yes to this. No, I wanted to do that.
Hmm.
So I was saying yes to a lot of things. So we need to just arrange. I needed to have some rest, and particularly in that season, I was probably looking to escape from myself a little bit as well.
Hmm.
You know, I was loving what I was doing, but you know, the hard thing about rest is coming back to stillness. That's actually hard. Because you have to face, if there's any pain there, you kind of have to face that.
Mm.
And so I think if I look honestly back at that, that was probably one thing that I was just loving life. But, we all have our limits, and just acknowledging that.
Well, I think that's an interesting point that you made, because a lot of men can throw themselves into work to not have to look at stuff, right? Mm. Because when we stop, all of a sudden there's this stuff I've got to deal with, or I've got to acknowledge or look at. And I think that can be a key factor in, I'm just going to push so hard in this area that I don't even look in this other area. And of course, that can lead to everything imploding, and then we have to look at it. There's no other choice. We talked about self-care for men, and again, that's not a term that men tend to use when we talk about self-care. We kind of think of, it's a female thing, and the women go off and do a facial or a massage or something, and they have a day out and they recoup and rest. And yet the reality is that for men, we need to self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's sit in that space for a while. Mm. What can we do first and foremost, I suppose, to break down the stigma and go, it's actually okay for me to self-care as a man, even though that seems like it's a real female term?
Well, it's a wise thing to do. You know, if we're in this for it's not a sprint, it's a marathon life, isn't it? And one of the things I learned from Dr. Keith Farmer, who's been a mentor over many years in mentoring Christian leaders, is that you do whatever replenishes you. That is rest. So it's all around the word replenish, and sometimes that actually might mean some kind of different work, or maybe some sabbatical, or there's some. It doesn't necessarily mean that you can still do some work in rest, but you know, some of these things, the basics about good sleep, good sleep patterns. I mean, if we're surviving on 4 or 5 hours a night and that sort of thing, it really is a recipe for disaster. So, you know, there's 5 90-minute cycles of sleep. 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night.
Mm.
Good exercise. I know as a man, if I don't exercise for 2 or 3 weeks, I'm grumpy. I'm irritable, and it's usually my wife will say, go out and get some exercise. I'm thankful that I've had exercise in my life for all those years, but it's diet, it's we talked about facing pain, learning how to grieve well. We all have losses in life. Loss is part of life, so learning how to grieve well, it's a real important skill. So some of these things are really important.
But the importance of, and this is the other thing, and I know that some mums particularly can struggle with this sense of guilt of taking some time out for myself. And many dads can feel like that too. It's like, yeah, but I've got so much to do and I have, so few hours to do everything I need to do. Yeah. How can I then afford to have some time out? So, Steve, speak into that space for me.
Well, definitely. If we don't care for ourselves, we're no good at caring for others. So we need to put ourselves first, and not in a selfish way. It's actually about wisdom. It's about quarantining some time so we can be at our best. Because if we're not at our best, it will bleed into other relationships. And it's just so sad to see, many of us try too hard, just taking a bit of time has enormous benefit in other lives. And all of life is really about our relationships.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm, it's good base.
There's been so much, Steve, that you've spoken into the last couple of weeks. There's been so many different topics and things that we've gleaned out of you. To some degree, we've scratched the surface on some of them. But I just want to, on behalf of Momentum, And yes. Just say thank you for your honesty, your openness, speaking to those spaces. And I know that you run a regular blog online. Just tell us what that is. If men want to tap in and follow some of the articles that you write, where can they find out a bit more about that?
We've got three blogs, but probably best to Google Steve Wickham Counselor, and that'll bring up the Facebook page, and I post blogs to that page. So it's probably best.
All right. Steve Wickham Counselor. Steve Wickham has been our special guest over the last few weeks. And again, you can hear last week's show and this week's show is going to be up on the Momentum website, momentumaustralia.org. You can check it out in the podcast section too. You can find the link on the website. All the details about Momentum, why we exist, what we do, some helpful tips there for you as well, some things that you can do to get connected in your local community, and also contribute perhaps to keep Momentum on the air. All of that is at the website, momentumaustralia.org. Once again, my special guest, Steve Wickham. Thank you, Steve, for your contribution. Really appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Steve. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Des.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to momentumaustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at momentumaustralia.org.